Lord, we know that you're the one that we have to depend on. There are no other things that are secure and stable and safe, Lord. In you, Lord, we can trust. And I pray, Lord, you'll bless us as we come to look at your word. Lord, you've spoken. You've said things, Lord, that we need to hear in order to direct and keep our lives on the right way. We thank you, Lord, you've also told us that you love us. We bless you, Lord, and that will encourage our hearts as we remind ourselves afresh, Lord, that in this sad and broken world, Lord, your love will never fade away. It cannot change or be forgotten. Lord, you're good and you're God. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just read a couple of verses out of Psalm 24 to start with, before we go back to our chapter, Genesis chapters 8 and 9, and just pick up a few bits from there. So, the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, but does not lift up his soul to an idol, or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord, and vindication from God his Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Well, such was a man called Noah, who served the Lord. So, we're into chapters 8 and 9. New beginnings is where we're at. Things get off to a new start after the flood has wiped out everything before. And it's to deal with what's called a covenant. Do you know what a covenant is? It's a binding agreement, that a promise that God makes. Those are the covenants we're looking at anyway. So it's a covenant that God makes with Noah. And it has relevance for all of us here this morning, as you will see. So let's move on next, please. And just a little bit of background before we get into the details. And just to say, a lot of things must have changed after the flood. There must have been some major changes to the atmosphere. That's a model, but the fossil is that big of a dragonfly. Imagine that flying around your house, right? Well, one of the interesting important things about this is that their breathing system, they have these air tubes. That's what dragonflies have, insects have, air tubes to let air in and carbon dioxide out. They have the same air tubes as normal dragonflies today, but they require so much more oxygen because of their size and the distance that it has to travel, that trying to live in today's oxygen levels, they wouldn't last. So it says that one time, oxygen levels were higher than they are today. So the flood changed a lot of things in the atmosphere in that respect. And then one of the other things is that when God made the earth, he separated the waters below from the waters above, put the earth in the middle, and the waters above were a canopy of some sort. Don't know how God did it, but it was up there. It must have had some form of greenhouse effect. It certainly did change things. So all that lot came down, the atmosphere is changed, not just oxygen wise, but also in how the whole atmosphere behaves, as we'll see. So next step, please. Before we get into the details of that, chapters 8 and 9 and the covenant of Noah introduce all these particular topics. There's a bit of technical stuff, I'm sorry to say, but it'll do us good, won't it? Yeah. So what's the first one on the left at the top there? They're the seasons. Yes? The seasons began to be introduced. I suspect that the earth before the time of the flood, things were a bit more even. Now the seasons are coming in. So we have the winter and the spring and all of that. And then we have, on the right-hand side at the top, that's your meat and veg. Right? Prior to the flood, Adam had been told that they were to eat the food of the plants and the fruit. Right? I suspect the human beings didn't take very long before they started eating animals. But for Noah and his family, they were still vegetarian up to that point in time. But from this point on, God allows man to eat meat as well. Right, so things have changed. We'll look at that. Right, and then we have here, what is that at the bottom there on the left?
The Houses of Parliament.
So Genesis 89 introduced the issue of government. How society is to be run and ordered. Because he's starting a new society off. He's given instructions about how to work in society with government. And then the final one is a bit of a funny one in a way. But what's this? It's a scarecrow. Genesis 8 and 9 explains why scarecrows work. Yes? That's why we use scarecrows, because they usually get rid of crows, don't they? Sort of thing. Okay, next one, please. So we'll start with the story first as it goes on. So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds. Everything that moves on land came out of the ark, one kind after another. So they were all saved. How about that? Mission accomplished. God had destroyed everything before, but preserved through the ark this family and his sons' wives and all the creatures that were to come out and to repopulate the world in which we live now. It's today's world he's talking about. Yeah, so they came out into this world. So, if you've just been through all of that, what would your response be? Possibly, yes. Right, yes. What would our response be? When you know that you've been saved, what should your response be?
Thankfulness,
joy. Right, what does Noah do? Let's have a look at our next one then. Right. So Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and the clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. So what's the first thing Noah does? Is he worships God. He's thankful for what God has done for him. It's a good thing to do, dear friends. He's setting you an example. Be thankful for the things that God has done for you. So he builds an altar. He had to build, there was never an altar mentioned before. He builds an altar out of these stones and offers one of those seven clean creatures, remember? And offers them as a burnt offering. So, the earthly paradise, what had happened to the Garden of Eden? Washed away. Destroyed. So the earthly paradise was destroyed. So man's access to God is now shown to be through sacrifice. We have to approach God through sacrifice. That's Noah trying to tell us. How you worship as well. And so what? He brought a thank offering. He offered these animals on the altar there. What is today's kind of thank offering? Tells us in Hebrews.
Right.
It's a thank offering of praise. Yeah. Yes? We're to offer not animal sacrifices now. Why not?
Because
Jesus has paid the price. He was the ultimate sacrifice that all the animal sacrifices were pointing to. Right? So he fulfills the animal sacrifice bit, but we're still there to offer our thanks. So we offer a thank offering. And sometimes offering a thank offering is quite a challenge. To thank God in difficult situations can be hard. That's not pretend and being plastic, but to have the grace to be able to see things in God's way. There was a Scottish minister who was always known for being very positive and very cheerful. And this particular morning, it had been a really rotten night before. The wind was blowing, the rain was going. It was terrible, right? And so the congregation turned up at church wondering what he's going to say this morning. So the minister gets up and says, "Lord, I thank you that it's not always as bad as this." See? You can always find something to thank the Lord for. Right? Okay, so he brought a thank offering to say, "Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me and my family." Right? It's a personal thing. Next one, please. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma. How about that? So, does God like the smell of a burnt sacrifice? It's not the animal thing that he's interested in, right? It's what's in the heart of the giver is what it's all about. The pleasing aroma was Noah's obedience and Noah's thankfulness and Noah's worship. You can please God. Did you know that's good, isn't it? Think about it. You can please God when you worship him in spirit and in truth. It's good to be able to do that, isn't it? Give God a glad heart. So it's not about the blood of the animals, but the heart of the giver of Noah. And in this sacrifice, I tell you, chapter 8 and 9 is just the basis for so much that follows on. Here we see the issue of substitution. Noah is offering an animal as a sacrifice. Instead of offering himself, in that sense, he offers his heart, but he doesn't offer his body. What are we to do? We offer ourselves as living sacrifices. Yes? Because substitution is where it comes from. God is approached by means of substitution, and that is ultimately fulfilled in
Jesus.
He is your substitute. You can approach God through Jesus. Right, next one, please. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done." So God makes a promise. He makes a covenant on the basis of having Noah having made this sacrifice. And he makes it with Noah. God makes this promise to Noah, but Noah is representing the rest of us. Did you know that? Noah's your great, 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 whatever, his grandfather. Yeah? He's representing us as he stands before God. How did God communicate with him? I don't know. Did God speak to him like he did? I've no idea, but God definitely gave him the messages. And he says this, I'm going to do this, I'm making this covenant with these human beings, and he says, even if every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, did you know? Little children can be nasty.
Oh, yeah.
You were once. A little child. Go ahead, you're nasty. But you got the idea. Yes. What came out of the ark with the animals were sinful human beings. And we've inherited that. We've still got it, yeah? So we need a saviour, don't we?
Yes.
That's what the sacrifice bit was about, of course. And God is making a covenant with Noah as a representation of the future generations of fallen humanity. Right, so God makes a promise. Never again will I destroy the world as I destroyed it then. That's a promise. Okay, next one please. So here we come with this covenant with Noah. There we are. And it includes, we'll look at these in small detail in a minute. It includes the seasons and the food we eat. God makes promises about the weather. How about that? And your food. God makes comments about the rule of law and civil government, and he also renews the original command to multiply, because there's only 8 of them and we're going to have to fill the world with people, and so replenish is what it's about. And God signed it. He made the contract and he signed the contract. What did he sign the contract with?
A rainbow.
The rainbow comes and appears. Probably, I think, for the first time. Remember, the atmosphere has changed? Didn't get rainbows before, but now we have a rainbow, and God says, that's my guarantee that I'm going to keep my promise. Get it. Next one, please. So, we'll look at this. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. So, that's the promise. Did the sun come up this morning?
Yes.
Kept his promise. Yeah. Are we moving from winter to spring?
Yes.
Kept his promise, you see? So the seasons are now being introduced, and it's a regular thing that God's done. So the climate has changed. Things are different. And there are consequences to that, as we'll see. So next one, please. But this is it. It's a promise. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. So, as long as the earth, that tells us something.
It's going to end.
It's going to end. Yeah. So there's a promise of something new coming eventually. I mean, this is right at the beginning, you know. God's got the map. He's got it all worked out. So there's a promise of something new. What are we looking forward to? A new heaven and a new earth. Right. Okay. So, but while we're here, day and night, sun comes up, and the seasons come and go. Right. And then we have summer and winter, day and night. Cold and light and all of that, dark and cold, all of those things. One of the lovely things about this, I got this from C.S. Lewis many years ago. You know, human beings some of us do, like things to be steady. You know, we want to know where we are, right? You like something that's reliable. So, that's one thing. But we also like variety, don't we?
Yes.
Yes. And what God has done with the seasons, he gives you constant, you know what's coming next. But he's giving you variety, you know. It's not the same that's coming next. Isn't that good? So God is a God of great variety and yet predictability in that sense as well. Okay? So we have change of variety, and then he says it will never cease while the earth remains, right? So you can depend on him. He's going to make it that way. That's really important. There's a lovely bit from Isaiah I read the other day. I thought, well, that really does illustrate it. The grass withers and the flowers fall. Yeah? They do, don't they?
Yes.
Seasons come, seasons go. Yeah? But the word of our God endures forever. You can guarantee his promises. Absolutely guaranteed. Next then, please. Right, now then. They're more scared of you than you think. Have a look. He says, and so then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall on all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, on every creature that moves on the ground, and all the fish in the sea, they are given into your hands. Well, that crow doesn't seem particularly scared, does it? But animals, wild animals, are frightened of human beings. Did you know that? Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't try and test out a lion too often, but you know what I mean? Yeah? But they are. They're scared of you. And there you are, all worried about little spiders, or a rat or two. They are scared of you, honestly. What it's about, yeah? I'll just say, but one amusing illustration I came across, that animals and birds are not stupid, are they, you know? Right? Scarecrows only work for a little while. Did you know that? Right? And I once visited the Plant Breeding Institute. I was working with genetic stuff. The Plant Breeding Institute at Trumpington, just outside Cambridge. And there they grow some of the, they've developed some of the things that you get in your shops today. You know Maris Piper? Yes. Potatoes? Maris is the sign that was grown at, or developed at Trumpington. Yeah, there are various Maris varieties of wheat as well. So they're growing these wheat crops, plants, you know, experimental things. They're looking promising, and they've only got about 100 plants at the time. They have to multiply them up to go commercial. So they have to protect these things from the birds. Yeah? So they had them in netting cages and things like this to keep the birds out. Of course the birds snuck in and all that. So one of the bright ideas they had was, they got this stuffed hawk, you know, bird of prey, and they put it on a little sort of transport railway line around the little patch of stuff they were growing, yeah? Right? So, whenever there was a movement detector, you know, and then bird came by, the stuffed hawks started moving off around the track, yeah? Well, they got wise to that. Yeah. After a while, they'd be sitting on the rail, and as a bird came by, they'd jump up, off it went, and they sat down again. Scarecrows work for a while, but you put a real human being about, and they get worried. Yes, that's why it works. Next slide, please. Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. So, meat's introduced as part of the diet. Just to say, one important thing is that God is providing food for mankind, right, for the whole world. Why are people starving today? Is it because we can't get enough food?
No, it's because of man's greed.
It's the distribution issue that's the problem. Yeah? There's plenty. It's the problem is that some get more than others and it stops others getting the stuff. But God made provision for mankind for food and includes the meat in it now. Right, now the next picture, maybe just a little thing as to possibly why. Why did God change our diet, right? Because originally we were designed as vegetarian, yeah? Right? Why did God give permission for man to eat meat? I've just thrown out a few thoughts that came to mind. Number one is, because of our diet requirements, if man's been told to spread out and fill the earth, because of the changing climate, some bits are a bit hot and some bits are a bit cold, growing stuff may not be quite so good, right? So it may be that the vegetation isn't sufficient in those particular areas, so God gave man permission to eat the meat. That's one of the things. Okay. Then there's the possibility also, sorry to tell you this, but did you know we're running down genetically? Mm-hmm. We're not evolving to better, we're devolving to worse. Yeah. Yeah. We're collecting more and more junk in our genes, I'm afraid, because of the mutations that are going on over time. All mutations are bad ones, by and large. Yeah. That's a fact. Yeah, mutations don't improve things, they make things worse. Right. Just even as an example, I don't know if you know, bacteria that develop resistance, they lose some power of some sort in order to gain resistance. Anyway, that's another thing. Loss of information. We need vitamins and minerals, don't we? And our requirements were changing, I guess, over time. I'll just give you an example. Vitamin C. Did you know dogs don't need vitamin C? You'd be pleased to know that, John. Dogs do not need vitamin C. Do you know why? They can make it. They have the chemistry to make vitamin C. I'll guess Adam could make vitamin C, but we lost it somewhere along the way, and so now we need to take in more stuff to do that supply. One of the interesting things is also this is anybody on a vegan diet, right, they have to be very careful that they get vitamin B12. It really is serious. If you're on a vegan diet, you better make sure you get vitamin B12, because that's one of the difficult things to get in a vegetable diet. Okay, next slide, please. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave the green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. That's because the animal food was made part of the offering, the sacrifice. And so the place of blood is representing life, is part of what God speaks about. And of course the animal offering is part of a sacrifice as well. You weren't supposed to eat the meat with the lifeblood still in it. Does that mean to say you shouldn't eat raw stuff? Some of you look like your rare meat, don't you?
Oh no.
Blood is an ideal environment for growing microbes. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So you leave blood around, you guarantee you get some really nasties growing fairly quickly. So they drain it off. That's the idea. Yeah. But also, I suspect God is there to prevent cruelty to animals. We may eat them. That doesn't mean to say we've got to abuse them while they're alive. Yeah. Okay. Next slide, please. Right. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal, from each human being too. I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. So he's saying is that God is concerned about life. Yes? And he counts life as valuable. Yeah, he demands an account. If life is taken, he's going to call us to account for it. Yes? So all human beings are precious in his sight. Life is precious. So here's a little picture. What does that illustrate? What kind of life are we talking about? Yeah? Life in the womb.
Yeah.
They call them fetuses nowadays.
Yeah.
God calls them babies.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Children. Right? Adults. What about him?
Old man.
Getting old, yes. And what about this guy? Disabled. Yeah, not necessarily. He might have had an accident on the wheel. Yeah, that's right, yeah. But you got the point. All people are precious in God's sight. Life is precious. That's the point that God's making. Why? Because we've been made in the image of God. There's something about us that's representing God in the world. So if someone attacks a human being, they're really having a go at God as well. That's what it's about, yeah? Okay, next slide, please. I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made mankind. So God sets up a rule for Noah, for government. And he's saying is if somebody murders somebody, they have forfeited their life. We think the death penalty is barbaric now, don't we? Some do anyway. Yeah? God said, life is that precious, if somebody takes a life deliberately, maliciously, they have forfeited theirs. It's a punishment. It's not a deterrent. It's a punishment from God. That's the point he's making, right? So God's instituting the rule of government in order to maintain and restrain evil in society, right? Let me just read you that passage from Romans. This is New Testament. There's not... Some like to make a distinction between old and new. There isn't one, of course, in that sense. So if I read to you what Paul says in Romans about governments and how we are to respond to them. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. God set up government. Yeah. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against God who has instituted it. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Yeah? So he's saying there is that the authorities have the power of the death penalty in that instance. Yeah, there's just one issue, of course, with that. The powers that the authorities are given by God can be abused, can't they?
Yeah.
We know there's some pretty rotten governments, the sort of dictators and so on. But the powers that are instituted, God has put government in place in order to maintain some degree of order in society. And you don't need me to tell you, we've seen it in these recent years. You get rid of a dictator, what do you find in his place? Chaos! Right? Like what was keeping the lid on all the madness in the Middle East? With the dictators, that's how they operate. Yeah, it's tribal. Yeah. But we didn't believe God. I suspect that's the problem. Anyway, I'm not saying that leaders excuse their evil and so on. But One important thing also to make note is that the Bible distinguishes between manslaughter and murder. There is a difference. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Just give you a little illustration. Supposing you got a pile of wood out the back and you want to chop it up to make a fire, you know, you get your chopper out, you're whopping away on the chopper and the head becomes loose, off it flies and hits somebody and kills them. Yeah? That's different to you going out and having an argument with your neighbour and then going back in the house, getting the chopper and giving him one or two and finishing him off. What's the difference? One is manslaughter, it was accidental, the other is murder. Right then, next slide please. As for you, well, this is the third part of the covenant. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number, multiply on the earth and increase upon it. There you go. So God gives the message to Noah and his family, the repeat of Genesis 1:28. Be fruitful and multiply. Yeah? That's good, eh? That's why you're here today. He obeyed. Right? And ever since, humans have been multiplying. Right, okay then. Next up, please. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature. So God's covenant is with all of life, all the creatures. God's making a promise. Yeah? So next one, please. Establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. Which means that the flood that came the first time was a universal flood. It wasn't a local one. Yeah? So it was a general flood that flooded the earth. So there are still floods happening around the place, aren't they? But you'll never get one that will wipe out the whole of the earth. There are some places, and maybe people need to be aware of this, you know, people build on floodplains these days. Do you know, thank God we have a Dutchman to thank for the fact that we are nice and dry here this morning. Yes. Yeah. They designed the drains for the Thames, which were, they, do you know why they called March? Because it was marsh. Right, you'd be standing in 2 feet of water this morning otherwise. Water's about, but it can never flood the earth again. God made a promise. Yeah. And you need to be wise in where the water is at the moment, of course. But it's a promise. You can depend on God. When he says something, he means it. Praise the Lord for that. Right, next up, please. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I've set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. So the rainbow appears in the clouds. A confirmation of God's promise. He signed his promise. What's interesting about the bow? So there's several, you might read some old commentators on this, it's lovely. It says, basically, it's a bow that's an ornament. It's not for war now. Yeah? It's pointed upwards rather than downwards at us. Right? It's a promise. And it doesn't have an arrow in it, of course, which is lovely. So it's a sign of God's promise. You need water and sunshine to make a rainbow. Yeah? So God's done that. And basically, God's saying is, whenever you see a rainbow, when you see a rainbow, what do you say? Wow. Do you?
Yes.
Right? I hope you say thank you, God, as well. Right? It's a reminder that he said the promise and he's kept it. Yeah, that's what it's about. You can depend on God's word. That's part of my message this morning. Believe him. He means it. Next one, please. Whenever the rainbow appears in the cloud, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all the living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I've established between me and all life on the earth. Well, that's an interesting phrase, isn't it? God says, whenever you see it, I'll remember. Well, does God ever forget?
No.
No, what does he mean, I'll remember?
I think it's for us.
It's a reminder.
He looked on it and smiled.
He enjoys and is blessed by what he's done. God is remembering in the sense that he's applying his grace to us again.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he sees that, he's reminding himself that it's a matter of grace that I'm dealing with you. It's grace, yes?
Mm-hmm.
God's mercy to us. This grace to fallen man on the basis of the sacrifice that was offered and would be offered in Jesus. Contrast this with the covenant with Adam. Remember Adam? God said to Adam, yeah, it's all yours, don't do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, do this and I'll bless you. Do that and you won't be blessed. Yeah? So the Adam covenant is a covenant of what we call of works. Do it, you get blessed. What's the covenant under Noah? I'll bless you. Yeah, full stop. Trust me, I'll bless you. Right. So it's a covenant of grace. And that's where it begins to flow out. One more, no, two more. Yeah, here we are. Now then, we're coming right up to the New Testament times, and this is interesting. There was a problem. In Acts chapter 15, they got a conference together. There was a council at Jerusalem. All the apostles and the leaders met together in Jerusalem to discuss an issue. The problem was the Jewish and the Gentile believers' practices. Jews did one thing, Gentiles did another. Yes, the Jews, they observed the feasts and the festivals, and they kept kosher, and they circumcised their children. And here come these Gentiles, as Christians, they can eat what they like, they observe the feasts, bless you, and they're different, yeah? They do different things. And so, what happened was, it was a problem in the early church. The early church said, you can't be a Christian unless you become a Jew. Isn't that interesting? Do you know nowadays the church has got it seriously wrong? They say you can't be a Jew and a Christian at the same time. Yeah, but you can. Right? But that was the early church problem. The Gentiles have to become Jews. That's what the issue was. And so they get together and they discuss it, and ultimately they come to a solution. And what they do is they take you back to the covenant that God made with Noah. And they say, okay, we won't require the Gentiles to do all of the things that we've been told by Moses and so on, but we'll take them back to the time of Noah. You're not to murder. You're not to commit immorality. You're not to eat the food of strangled animals, that sort of thing. Yeah? So they take us back to Noah in order to sort things out. Right? So they're led back to the rule for all men. Because Noah is representing not the Jews alone, but all humanity, all of us. So the rules are for us. Yes? So it's one people under God in Jesus. Right, so my last little point. You'll be very patient. You've got a headache now?
No.
You're okay. Well, what's it all about? What's this Noah thing in Adam? And it's simply this. It's all of God's grace to provide, it's all of God's grace to provide a place for people of all nations. He wants a people on the earth to know him and love him. And he has to do that now on the basis of grace. Because they're all sinners. Yes? So he has to be a God of grace in dealing with us. And he's provided a place for us. Even little old March. Amazing, eh? So God's provided all of that in his grace. And he wants a whole world to experience his faithfulness, his forgiveness, and his love through his son Jesus. So that's what we're here for. To celebrate God's faithfulness. Yeah?
Yeah.
He's kept you going. He's provided for you. You've got food. You've got laws that protect you in our society. All because God made a promise through Noah to do that for you and for me. That's grace. So I hope you're a grateful people. Yes? And realise what an amazingly faithful God he is. So, if God's given you a promise, you can depend on it.
Yeah.
Yeah? Right? I will love them freely, he says. How about that? Father, you made a promise that you kept so many, many thousands of years. What a faithful God you are. Lord, that in your Son Jesus, we're told all the promises of God are yes and amen. You made the final seal on them, not with a rainbow now, Lord, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, thank you that we can come to you and know, Lord, we're accepted and loved on the basis of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. We thank you, Lord, for the new day, the sun rising, Lord, for the rain and the wind, and the seasons, the beauty of the world that you made, the variety. Lord, that's your doing, and we want to say thank you for it. You made a promise, you kept it. And Lord, thank you that it's while the earth remains. Lord, thank you. The day's coming when all the sins of this world and the sorrows and the fallen part of man is going to come to an end. Lord, thank you. We're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. Oh, Lord, bless you. That you will keep your faith till those days, Lord. Till that time comes. Lord, you will be faithful and just and true. And Lord, thank you. That's good because we can depend on you. Bless us and help us, we pray, to keep trusting you and thanking you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.